It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Tuesday, July 7th, 2020. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
You trying to throw stank on that?
No, I was thinking, as I said that out loud, I was like, I should think of a way to stank something up sometime, but not
put some southern stank on it?
Shauna. I'm Shauna.
How do you say it with a southern accent?
I'm Shauna. Shauna. Okay.
Stop. All right then.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So I was at a restaurant over the weekend and two of the servers had their masks on, but their noses were hanging out. So they had the old exposed schnoz going on.
Oh, yeah.
And then one was wearing her mask, but she kept putting her mask on her chin to speak as well.
Chin strapping it.
The chin strap, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I was at a restaurant and the server had, he was chin strapping it the whole time. And I was like, I mean, I get that it's probably uncomfortable in the mask for a full shift.
Yes.
But you just don't wear the mask at that point.
That's what I mean.
This isn't doing anything.
They're doing their damn best, I understand, but it kind of defeats the purpose when you do that. But there are quite a few ways that people have been wearing masks that are a bit, you know, wrong,
yeah,
inappropriate, not really working. And the exposed schnoz is definitely one of them, the face faucet, when your nose is out like that.
And then you have the chin strap where it's just down around your chin.
Yeah.
And then if you pull it even lower, it's the choke me daddy, where it's down around your neck.
The earring is another one as well, just where it's hanging off of one ear, you
really
know?
Long, dangly, Elton John style earring.
That's exactly it, yeah. Then there's the house cleaner as well.
Where it's up on your forehead.
Yes.
Yeah, the house cleaner, keeping the hair out of the cleaning chemicals. What about right over the eyes here?
Yeah. I call this the sleep aid.
The weary traveler, the Sandra Bullock in Bird Box.
The Cyclops. Don't want to do that either.
And then back here, if you put it on the back of your head, the Sabbath, right there. All wrong ways to wear a mask.
All wrong ways.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Two of my friends were telling me that they now catch themselves coming up with different names for butts.
As you do.
They both listen to us, and many friends of this show submit their own butt names to add to our ever-growing list. My list is so long, Shauna.
I know.
I don't know what yours looks like, but mine just goes and goes and goes.
Well, I told you that when I was at the airport, unfortunately, my names for butts was pulled up the one time, and then the guy was looking, and it was in the big font, and I was just, it's fine. You know, I was just like, of all the things that could have been pulled up when he had to open and do the swabbing, that's what he saw.
That was the one.
Bit embarrassing. It's fine.
One of my friends had a great idea, though. He said, why do you call it names for butts? Why don't you call it the thesaurus? That's way better.
That's genius.
That's what it is now. It's the thesaurus.
The thesaurus, yes. I'm going to change the list on my phone because right now it just says names for butts, but I'm going to put thesaurus instead.
Rightfully so.
Yes, much better.
We were discussing strategy on how we best come up with new names for butts, and I said sometimes it helps to just look at some butts and see them,
yeah,
and something will just spring to mind. Like you'll just see a nice one go by, and you'll be like, whoa, look at the floor scraper on her.
Yeah, look at the Quizno on her.
Get a load of her Gitch Muncher.
Her speedometer is amazing.
Her noisemaker.
Her Newt Gingrich.
Her Doofenshmirtz.
Her Ginch Dimple.
Her Chop Suey.
Her Tub Thumper.
Her Gerald Butts.
Her Harry Pooper in the Chamber of Secrets.
Her Sound Cannon.
Her behind ya.
Her Christmas goose.
Her dump knuckle.
Her second whistler.
Her Ashel Rose.
Her glute flute.
Her Schlempenstempel.
Her Keister Sutherland.
Her trouser Travolta.
Her log driver.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I had to go to the mall yesterday. Have you been to a mall yet?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it for those that haven't. It was the most depressing place in the world. To be fair, it was already one of the most depressing malls in the city, but it was even worse.
Okay, the one I went to is one of the nicer ones, and it was more depressing than usual, but not, like, I didn't leave bummed out.
Okay. I did. Okay. Like, all the stores had their metal security gates up, except for the one little entrance to let you in, right? To, of course, limit how many people can enter. So it already looks like all the stores are closed. Then all the stores that had outside entrances were completely blocked off, so they were completely shut. And then there's these, like, these random rideable stuffed animals in the middle of the mall that kids can hop on, and they were, like, caution taped, but they were all still there.
God. That one hurts.
The bubblegum machines all had saran wrap wrapped around them so the kids couldn't touch that. Orange Julius looked depressed, and Orange Julius never looks depressing. Like everything about it.
How can you be sad at an Orange Julius?
You can't be. Look at the bright colors and fun things you can get.
In some places, aren't the Orange Julius kiosks in the mall actually an orange?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They used
imagine
to have
that
the
being
big...
sad. Hey.
Orange is no longer orange. Just like what has happened?
It's kind of like a brown.
It's just that's a it's like I'm rotting past orange.
Ripe.
It's all wrinkly.
That's so depressing, man. You and I love depressing malls to begin with, and by love I mean
hate
them. Like they're the saddest thing in the world. Like a sad mall.
Oh my god!
And you look at the other people who are there, and you're just like, oh, what brought us all in here?
No one was here. It was even worse when I pulled up. There were a bunch of employees sitting on milk crates darting because there's clearly no one coming into the mall. They're just like, we might as well all take up smoking on milk crates together.
Oh, I'm bummed out and I wasn't even there with you.
I almost missed the mall sellers trying to sell me straighteners because at least then there's life in these malls.
Someone
you know?
With a little jump in their step.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Are you familiar with Leslyn Lewis?
Sort of, yes.
Sort of. She's running for the leadership of the Conservative Party of Canada.
Yeah.
And she's kind of an unusual candidate for that party because she is a black woman. She's a lawyer in Toronto. She's originally from Jamaica, and she's the first visible minority female to run for leadership of the Conservatives. They've had women
That's
run in
That's depressing. I didn't even know that.
Well, they've had women run in the past. They have had visible minorities run in the past, but never both.
Interesting.
I don't think. This is where it gets interesting, though. She is also quite a staunch social conservative. She opposes the ban on conversion therapy. She thinks marriage is between a man and a woman, and she's very pro-life.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Personally, I don't think she's going to win the leadership race, and I think those positions are a big part of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if she did, I think it would make for an interesting situation here because you would have a self-made black woman running against, and to no fault of his own, kind of the textbook example of privilege in Justin Trudeau. So my question is, would voters who value diversity in government, would they be conflicted?
No.
No?
If she goes against everything that you believe in, it doesn't matter what color of her skin is. No one's going to vote on her solely because of that.
Well, that's...
If they disagree with everything else, that's not... No.
That's obviously, I think, the right answer, is you vote for the person in the party who most closely align with your beliefs. You don't vote for someone based on who they are. And I think Leslyn Lewis would agree because she's written a bit about identity politics and how they're harmful. So I think she would probably agree with that sentiment as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know,
I would never have looked at her and been like, oh, I'm going to vote for her because she's black. I would never have thought of that. Like,
no,
not even remotely close to that.
Do you understand, though, the kind of paradox here where you say if you identify yourself as a progressive?
Mm-hmm.
You have the opportunity to elect Canada's first black female immigrant prime minister.
Who has...
And instead, you would have to vote, because of your positions, you would have to vote for a very wealthy straight white male.
Yeah, I understand that sort of, but not really. Because I'm like, again, if she goes against everything you believe in, then you're not going to vote for her. Like, especially, you know, not being against the conversion therapy ban and everything. Like, no. You wouldn't do that just like if that's not what you agree with, especially something that divisive, right? Like, you wouldn't just vote for her because she's black.
Well, I mean, that's what you would hope, that people vote for someone based on their character, right?
Yeah.
Based on their character and their positions. And if you don't agree with them, then they wouldn't get your vote. But I mean, I'm not making identity politics up here. They are pervasive right now.
Yeah. I think in this case, it's different. I don't think that would be a thing. Just simply because she's a black woman, you would vote for her. Even though she goes against everything else and everything else. Like, by a mile. Like, those are some pretty...
They're pretty
extreme
big positions.
Positions.
Yeah, they're pretty big ones.
Like, yeah.
I think it would be a spicy conundrum.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Like I said, I don't think she will get the nomination, largely because I think even the Conservative Party wants to move away from those views that she has.
Yeah.
Andrew Scheer got hammered on it, and he wasn't nearly as militant as Leslyn Lewis is. Andrew Scheer was also just not a very likable candidate, I don't think.
So
there's just some people that you need to have some charisma. You just, that needs to be part of it. And some people just aren't as much as others.
Stephen Harper had no charisma.
You're right,
and he was the prime minister for how long here?
Fair.
No charisma.
Yeah. Yeah, never mind. You don't need charisma.
But if she were to get the nomination and she were to lose, I wouldn't be surprised if the Conservative Party were to blame racism and sexism.
Oh,
just kind of like when Hillary Clinton lost, they said it was because of sexism.
Well, like for her, there's glaring. It's like, no, it's probably her extreme views on these policies.
Of course, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
In party politics, it doesn't matter. You take whatever you can get. It's like, I don't think Hillary Clinton lost because she was a woman. I think she lost for a number of reasons, but because, again, she wasn't a very likable candidate. She didn't.
Yeah.
But that won't stop a party from saying that is the reason.
Yeah. They have to find a reason for everything, right?
That's right. So
they will find it.
That's right.
They'll use whatever reason they need to use.
I still think with Andrew Scheer, it was drinking the milk. His thing with all, you know, drinking the milk out of a Stella Artois glass, that, I can't relate to that, man.
It makes me want to vomit. Like, you can't take a Stella glass that always has beer in it. Like, I picture a mixture of beer and milk. You show
like
me that.
Like, carbonated milk?
Yeah, like...
makes you want to vomit,
it's awful.
It?
It's just, like, that is... that's like, my sister, as a child, she used to tie me up and force me to drink concoctions of crap, and I would vomit. And that was, like, that's what this reminds me of, okay?
I like milk.
I do,
I drink
too.
Milk every morning.
I like milk.
I don't
I
drink
used
it
to
out
love
of a
milk.
Beer glass.
No! It... No!
I don't like toast with it. And
oh, my lordy.
Anyway, I thought that, what we just talked about with Les and Lewis and everything, I thought that was going to be the most controversial thing we talked about on the air today, but it was not. It was actually this.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
My five-year-old Beau was asking me all about mosquitoes and why they're bad and what eats them, and I gave him the answers as best I could. You know, bad because of, obviously, the Kerry disease, malaria.
Yeah.
I said, dragonflies are good. We want those in the yard. That's why we let spiders keep their webs up, because they eat mosquitoes.
Right.
But I was trying to explain to him the potential for eradicating the mosquito by altering their genetics. And I'm
you
sure
tried to explain that to your five-year-old?
I tried to.
Okay.
It's a tough concept to explain to a five-year-old. And especially because, like, I don't really understand it either. But, like, I'm sure you've heard of CRISPR and gene drives and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I did a bit of reading on that yesterday, and it seems like so far the most the technology has been used for is to alter things like the eye color of mosquitoes, but there is the possibility down the road to do something like, you know, making it so that all mosquito offspring are male, and then eventually they just die out on their own.
Mm.
But the big question is, should we do it?
I was going to say, I don't know if that's a good thing.
And like, what impact will it have on other species that rely on the mosquito for food? There was a study done in 2010. There are obviously lots of different animals and insects eat mosquitoes, but none of them rely solely on mosquitoes. So it's possible that even without the mosquito, they could adapt, but you're going to be taking away a big part of their diet and increasing competition for the remaining food among those species.
Yeah, you really don't want to just start a chain reaction of frigging up the ecosystem, you know?
And once you like push that button.
Yeah.
It would that be too late me. To turn it back.
Mm-hmm.
So that is kind of scary. So let me ask you this, Shauna. You have a gun to your head. You have to turn on the gene drive that makes the mosquito extinct. You will save a million lives a year in some of the poorest parts of the world from malaria. But your decision will also have an unpredictable and irreversible effect on the natural world. You'd be rolling the dice big time. Do you do it?
I don't think I'd do it.
You don't do it?
No. Anytime I feel we try and even just a little bit frig with nature here or there, I find it has horrible consequences, it seems. There's always things that happen that you don't foresee, and maybe it's down the line or whatever, but then it's just something that you're like, whoops, I'd be afraid to make that happen.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I would do it.
Would you?
Oh, for sure. I would, to save a million lives a year.
And then
a million human lives.
Potentially kill everything after that, later on down the line.
Hopefully not everything, but
there's a chance.
You know, if you could, I mean, maybe this is wrong to say, but I still put more stock in human life than in.
But how do you know that this won't develop some sort of super bug or something because of the changes in, I know.
You don't. Yeah. You really don't. But I mean, the alternative is that you're, deliberately not saving a million people a year, and I just couldn't. I could never live with that. So if I had the button in my hand, 100% I'd do it, and I'd say, all right, we'll deal with the effects of this down the road, but we're going to save 1 million people a year. I would do it for far less than 1 million people.
Yeah.
Might do it for 100 people.
Yeah. That's always the stuff that down the line, though, is what we... is going to destroy our Earth, I think. But maybe. Yeah, but yeah, at the time.
Maybe it's 30 years from now, I'd be like, oh, that was a huge mistake.
I know.
But
this is the choice that everybody makes now. These are the choices that we've made, and now we're dealing with some huge consequences.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I know Father's Day has come and gone, but I thought of another dad badge.
Dad badges don't have to be limited to Father's Day.
No.
You can bring them out whenever you want.
We were inspired by it before Father's Day, and then we carried it over. But here's another one that I thought of. The clearly defined watch tan.
Oh, that's a good one.
My dad looks like two different ethnicities between his arm and beneath his watch, because he wears the same watch every day, and he has for 25, maybe 30 years now. And you can see he has a permanent tan line from it.
Doesn't even go away in the wintertime?
Doesn't. Has it all year round now. And I thought of this because for the first time ever, I'm wearing this Apple Watch, and I've got a bit of a watch tan from
you do?
Here. Can you see it?
Yeah.
And I immediately saw my arm and was like, Dad? The watch tan. It is the pinnacle dad tan, I think, is the watch tan. I mean, the sock tan is pretty funny as well.
I was
going to
say that's the only contender.
Yeah. Yeah, but the watch tan is far above that.
Especially if the socks come up a little bit too high.
It's true.
The socks and sandals tan, like... where dad takes his socks off at the beach, and it looks like he has the feet of a dead body.
Yep. It just, I mean, that is a really bad one, actually. The other one I thought of is maybe the gut tan, because that one's a pretty funny one, too.
The gut tan?
When you sit standing up and there's a bit of a gut, so it kind of like, there's a fold tan from where the gut goes in. That's one as well, but
now
that's not
personal.
A dad badge.
I have that. Where it looks like abs, but it's not. It's just where... your gut folded in on itself and it didn't tan in the gaps.
I mean, if you could strategically just layer your skin and make it look like abs, that would be a good way of doing it.
Abs? No. Gut tan.
No, that's the gut tan. It's another classic dad tan.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
My two younger brothers are having a super petty fight right now.
Amazing.
They're not, like, it's not serious. They're just throwing jabs at each other, but they're doing it in the most like 2020 way ever. They live in different cities,
yeah.
But they share a Netflix account, as many of us do, mm-hmm. share a Netflix account with our family and friends in different places. So they're exchanging insults by changing the account names on the Netflix
Amazing.
Account that they share, like the usernames. So one of them had like an adult bedwetting incident recently.
Oh my God.
You know, it happens sometimes.
Does it?
Well, it hasn't happened to me for a long time, but occasionally it happens. Just, you know, you dream you're at a urinal or whatever, and you...
Oh, my God. So, you know, I think that I probably wouldn't admit to that if it did happen either, but anyway.
So, okay. He admitted to it,
uh-huh.
And then next time he logged into Netflix, his username was changed to Bedwetter. So, to get back at my other brother had missed this funeral and felt bad about it because he thought he probably should have attended.
Yeah.
So, when he logged back in... his username on the account was now Funeral Skipper.
Oh,
so
my God. It's amazing.
So they're going back and forth with these insults on the Netflix account.
And that's good.
Yeah.
It's a good way of doing it.
That's how you have a passive-aggressive fight in 2020.
That's how you do it.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Did you know that it's illegal to not have a bike bell here?
I didn't, but that doesn't surprise me.
Because that wasn't a thing in Ontario growing up. You didn't need to have a bike bell. Obviously, they would recommend it. But I just learned that bike bells are mandatory here. You'll get a $120 fine if you don't have a bike bell.
I wonder how strictly it's enforced.
I know. Probably not very.
But yeah, you should have a bike bell for sure.
Yeah, I kind of understand it. Like, we should be more liberal with our bike bell usage as well. Like, if you have one, you should use it. Because when you're just out for a nice leisurely stroll and you're kind of pondering life and then a bike rips up beside you and you're not expecting it... it's poop worthy. Like,
it
you
is.
Almost have to change your gitch, okay? Like, whip it around. You're like, give me some warning here.
Our boss bikes the reservoir every morning, and he said there are so many people that either walk or bike slower with their headphones in. So he'll come up behind them and ding, 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 and he's getting no reaction. He just knows they got headphones in.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he passes them, it's like, if you're so jumpy, maybe you shouldn't have your headphones in.
I was going to say, like, that's your own fault.
That
if you have
is.
The headphones in, then you have to be prepared for that because it's going to happen. You can't hear. Unless you maybe put it a little lower. Put that volume a bit lower so you can still hear the ding, okay?
People who don't have bells, they'll give you the old, On your left.
Yeah.
Is it coming up? On your left.
Yep. It's funny because I used to do that when I didn't have a bell the odd time. And, you know, you were like trying to get around. I'd be like, on your left. And a lot of people wouldn't remember which one's left or right. So they'd start going.
Right.
And you're like, no, your other left. Your other left. Nearly one in. And they're like, okay, that didn't work out either.
Just any sound that you make to alert them, I think, is good.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, I was going to say, give them a Missy Elliott.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
If you listen to the show regularly, you know that we have a kind of a recurring segment that we call the radio epidemic.
Yes.
And we make fun of some other stations and the things they choose to talk about, some of the, you know, the topics that they run and the calls they take. And we haven't really been doing it since the start of the COVID pandemic because, I mean, well, we call it the radio epidemic and we have a real pandemic going on right now.
We do. So we thought it might be a bit insensitive to talk about that as well.
But then our boss pointed out that the radio epidemic is just that. It's an epidemic. An epidemic is regional and doesn't become a full-blown pandemic until it spreads to other places.
So it's different.
A little bit different.
It's more acceptable.
And we don't know if this radio epidemic has spread elsewhere in the world yet or not, but you imagine what it sounded like if it did. Down in the southern states? Oh, 238X99, what's your favorite type of gun?
What's your favorite type of turkey? Okay?
German radio epidemic? Oh, what's your favorite type of schnitzel? 238X929.
Helga from Stuttgart says the Wiener Schnitzel, obviously.
Oh, Helga.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.